Well, hello. On today's Living in Las Vegas, well, clearly, we're classing up the joint. Ah, the smell of freshly cut flowers. Look, a curtain made of gold, a logo made of platinum, and I am full of crap because I don't have the first clue what we're going to talk about. I'm stalling. Now, live chat questions, you bet. Listener email, of course. Have a drink on me? Wouldn't do this show without it. Other than that, though, it's kind of a crapshoot. So, this is the Living in Las Vegas podcast, where we shot a Spanish language training video here last night.
Yes,
buenos días, buenas noches, and donde los baños, por favor. Let's get started.
To the left.
Very nice. Chica chica.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Yes, it does.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast.
Thank you, Pops.
Exactly. Pops loved it. Danny hated it.
Pops, you're all my friends, Poppy. Poppity, poppity, pop, pop.
And now your host.
I love Pops!
A man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Pop, 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 pop,
pop. Mr. Scott Whitney.
Sing it, Scotty! Stop it now, Scotty. There you go. Or as my dog trainer said today, quiet.
Quiet, Scott.
Quiet.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. We had a crowd here last week. We've thrown them out. I'm your humble host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa. Buenas noches, as I alluded to previously. And, of course, how you doing, hot stuff? It's so good to be back. I've missed you. Yeah, kind of.
Just a little bit?
Not talking about you.
No.
Talking about, it's all about the bread.
About the bread. Not on camera, so
but
okay.
I am not alone here, clearly. Oh, I've got somebody joining me. I love him like my brother. Of course, my brother was killed in a swimming accident. I'm not really sure what happened, but I was acquitted. Anyways, he's RQS, he's Drinky Pants. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Brett Grant, everybody.
All right. Good. Hey, everybody. Great to be back. Good to see you. How you doing? You know what? I really am enjoying this fabulous mild July. Seriously, I know it's
it is,
hot as June was, the hottest on record in Las Vegas. July has been spectacular.
It's been
you got some rain. I mean, 2 days ago, was it Monday? It's like 83 degrees for the high.
Yes.
Spectacular day. I know you probably hated it, but I loved it. I actually was outside in my at the pool at like 10 o'clock at night. Scott, come back. Come back, Scott.
And I was waiting for the pool is hotter than the outside air.
I was waiting for the dog to go to the bathroom, and it's like 10 o'clock at night, and I was actually going, I might need a jacket. It's cold out here.
Oh, man.
It was awesome. I loved it.
No!
You're missing great pool weather.
God.
Today, the dog fell in the hot tub. Just walking by, just fell in.
Boswell did that. Well, actually,
she swam right out.
Coda pushed Boswell in our old house's hot tub. Boswell's like, I don't know about that fucking thing. I'm not, because it was a ring. It was a raised ours. And he's like, nope.
Yep.
Not going up there, not going around there. You know, we would do our wine and cheese, nights, September, October. He's like, I normally would come and hang out with the people.
Not tonight.
You're on your own, man. Because that dog right there, fucker pushed me in. And I'm not going in again.
We did change the dog's name.
I know you did. Okay. Shammy.
Didn't last very long. The kids don't like the new name, and I didn't like Shammy because it didn't kind of flow for me.
Shammy is also a thing that you use.
Exactly. And ironically, I got a couple of friends who have dogs named Sammy.
Yep.
And it's a little bit confusing to me.
Shammy.
And then I started thinking about it, and I go, what better name than this? And I thought about it like 2 days later.
Right.
So we changed her name to Radio.
Radio, everybody. Radio. That's the dog's name.
Radio.
Next week, it'll be television. And the week after that, his name will be Podcast.
Exactly. Well, since Radio is soon going to be dead in general, I figured the legacy of Radio would live on through my dog.
That's what you want to hear from the general manager
of a radio station.
All right.
Radio's been very good to me.
I don't think it's going to last.
Could have gone with Wi-Fi.
Right. Hey, over and under for today's show. Okay, I've been way off on my over and unders.
You were closer last time.
Thank you. Appreciate that. It's a complete lie.
But we're only off by 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Today's over under 87 and three quarters. That's right.
three quarters.
Because
45 ticks.
Because there's a good chance that we might do the hook. I'm going three quarters. 87 and three quarters. First of all, our first thing up on today, like we say, we're just going to be doing kind of a random stuff. We've got lots of stuff to talk about. Nothing specific. But first, I have to say, it's the right thing to do because I am the host. Congratulations to Tuck78, who's in the live chat with us right now. Tuck is now a legal alien. No, he's actually a Las Vegas local. Everybody,
yay! Go, Tuck. Congratulations, Tuck. Welcome to town. What part of town did the Mother Tucker move to?
Where did Mother Tucker go?
Right. Where did you move to, Tuck?
And by the way, congratulations. You're about ready to meet people who don't know what they're talking about, that they're liars.
He's in Summerlin.
Oh, are you in Summerlin? All right.
That means he's basically at Sahara and Decatur, because everything on the west side of town is Summerlin.
Summerlin now. Off of West Desert Inn. What's your exact address? Why don't you just let us know right now? Well, shit, we'll come on by and say hello.
Ironically, he's not too far away from me.
He's not too far away from you, but he's very far from me because I'm fancy. We're having a kegger at Tuck's house.
Excellent.
That's outstanding. So thank you for that.
Have we got a picture of Tuck? Because
We don't have a picture of Tuck. Tuck, you should send a picture of, and just, you know, you don't. Here's what you should do. You haven't won a Vegas Video Network visor, and for that, I'm sorry. But you should make your own.
Create your own visor.
You know, just put one across. It's a paper.
A little paper mache.
Maybe a paper mache. Yeah. That's exactly. A little paper mache. Get the logo up there. You can cop the logo from the website. Get that bad boy on there. Send it in. And we will add you to the galaxy of gods.
We'll put you on America's Most Wanted with a galaxy of the gods.
Right. We'll do both because I do know John, whatever that guy's name. Okay. Hey, under the heading of what? More good news from downtown Las Vegas. The bunkhouse is closed down.
Really?
Yeah. Bunkhouse has been around for
quite a while.
Mucho longo tiempo. Right. I did the Spanish language thing last night.
You're doing very well.
I am muy bueno.
¿Dónde está el baño de caballeros?
Sí, Dos Equis, la mujer de caballeros. Anyway, so bunkhouse has been around for a long, long time, and it's, you know, been kind of a, it's kind of a cool little place. And then somebody from downtown Las Vegas, I don't remember his name, but I think he's the same guy who runs downtown Las Vegas now, not Shay, but somebody else. They bought into it, and, you know, they're going to spiff it up and make it better, and everything's great. And, you know, Monday comes in, people come in and go, last day is today. 30 people gone. That's a problem. Now, I am no big fan of a lot of what's going on in downtown, although I'm going to tell you a little bit later that we spent some time down there and had a great time. But here's the thing that disturbs me. It was working okay. I mean, it was a nice little bar. I had never been there, but I have a lot of friends who go there. And it's really well known for live music. Mm-hmm. Huge live music, you know, the punk stuff,
right?
The punk music the kids listen to, and the harder rock stuff, and that kind of stuff. Not the kind of stuff that, you know, sophisticated people.
You would think a place called a bunkhouse would be more country and western. We have both country and western.
I was trying to remember that song. But instead, it failed. So that's a bummer for the people who were there. I think they mentioned that it may come back. Very much like Insert Coins may come back, but man, oh man, you know, I think what we're watching is the reasonably expected flushing of the nonsense that was taking place down there.
Well, I think there's a lot of factors. You know, number one, during the week, I think a lot of those places are going to be struggling for business, especially from locals, because that part of town for people who are doing business down there is primarily lawyers and people going down there to do, you know, things at City Hall, things at the courthouse. And during the week, you're going to rely on the tourists. On the weekends, maybe we go down there a little bit, but the competition is through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
On Las Vegas Boulevard town square all the way up, I should say.
Hey, Ted, was Bunkhouse on Fremont Street, you know, farther east?
It was farther east. It was over by LVA, I want to say. It was kind of around 7th Street or so.
Was it? Yeah, I thought it was more. Oh, Bunkhouse was around 15th.
Yeah, okay.
And Fremont. Yeah, okay, okay, okay. Right.
I was off by 7 blocks.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was off I drove by a city. Have you seen Bunkhouse? I believe it's that way.
Well, it was that way. Go it was over way. There.
Right. Go
it's
east.
It's to my right.
Go east, baby. Go east. Anyway, yeah. So that's in that area. And there are some things, you know, like, for example, Container Park is supposed to be doing pretty well now.
Right.
And you've heard, I've heard up and down stories about that place. But it's pretty busy, and that's pretty good, and that's what you want to hear mm-hmm. from that. And it's a neat looking place. It's
right, got
a
big cool,
fiery
right.
thing that blows fire and stuff. Right. Oh, that's pretty cool. So, but it's too bad that place is closed down, because, like, you know, Dave and Alicia Ivey would go there a lot because yeah. it was that kind of vibe. And so, you know, you just don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Hey, I'm a big fan of the Cirque du Soleil, and right. Actually went to see O last week. You know, we had the in-laws in, and we decided to razzle dazzle them with the O. Last time I was there, I was really pretty underwhelmed by O. This time I was there, I was pretty overwhelmed by O. I remember.
Really?
It's a pretty good damn show.
O's the one with all the water and the depressing music?
It's not depressing.
Oh, it's horrible. It's like
the same Cirque music as all music.
It was like watching Beetlejuice underwater.
It's that one outfit.
I just don't like it. It was like,
that's funny.
I can't want to go Beetlejuice.
No.
I didn't like O. I did not like O.
Brett.
I mean, of course, the people doing the acrobatics and all that, is they're fantastic. I just didn't like the storyline.
See,
or whatever the hell it was.
It's water.
It was depressing to me.
Oh, so the last time I saw it, I felt like, eh.
That's how I feel.
This time I was like, and that was probably 3 years ago. I was like, well, this is pretty neat. And you know, my friends, we call them effing fam.
Right. That's effing right. fam now. Okay,
isn't that good? You. Pretty good, huh?
Right, right.
I made that up. So the effing fam were like, and these are, you know, these are just, you know,
these are
folks.
Good old simple folks, simple from folks. Effingham,
super
Illinois.
Simple guys. And I wasn't real. And they're all a little. I really like them a lot, but they're all kind of, you know,
mellow,
country mellow, like yeah. you know, we don't do that kind of thing.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's fine. So I'm like, oh fuck, we're gonna take them to this place. There's millions of dollars out there, and they'll be like, yeah, that was all right. I'm like, you're all right, you fuck. But Darren, Melissa's brother, who's, you know, he can be pretty, you know, he's actually really kind of turned the corner where we really get along well. He's like, that was amazing. I'm like, yeah, effing fam. Boom. But here's why I'm talking about those guys. So I got another friend who's coming to town, and he asked if we could go see Believe.
Chris Angel,
Believe.
Okay.
Now, that's the one Cirque show that I haven't gone
See,
to.
Okay.
Yeah. And mainly because when it first came out, it got ripped to shreds as being just a horrible show. But unlike other Cirque shows that have been ripped to shreds and then went away, for example, the Elvis show, whose name escapes me, and I think one other one, this thing somehow hung on, and I think they retooled it, and it's still there. He's been doing it now for, I don't know, 6, 7, whatever years it is. And great. Sammy says it's a terrible show. Well, guess what? We're going.
and Malia says, you know, even worse.
No.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm going to tell you about. And I think this might be for other shows as well. But for Cirque, I decided to see, you know, can I get a locals deal? Well, I went on there, and instead of calling, I just saw a big advertisement for summer deals. So I got 2 tickets to a Cirque show for $64 a piece. $64.
Yeah.
That's cheap.
I think for Believe, they'll pay you $64 to go see this show.
So I hear you.
Yeah.
And maybe,
as the live chat says, nobody could believe how bad it was.
And I'm telling you, trust me, if you go back in the archives, I took my shots at that show as well. And the guy's kind of a douchebag as well. I mean, everybody knows that.
Right.
But I'm like, $64? Wait, I've seen it for under 50. God damn it. How did you do that?
She bought tickets on eBay.
She bought tickets on eBay and then sold.
Sold for $1,000.
She, Danny, who's in the live chat, does her show, Mr. Profit. She bought a Raggedy Ann and Andy doll.
Okay.
It was part of a lot. So she didn't even see it when she bought the lot. $10 for the whole lot. They were showing up it wasn't a G.I. Joe. Oh, it was a Mr. T lunchbox.
Okay.
That was, they're like, yeah, Mr. T lunchbox. She's like, well, I can get $10 for that. I'll buy it a lot. Come to find out, Raggedy Ann and Annie, she's like, well, that's pretty cool. I'll put these things up. She puts them up. A couple of people are like, yeah, that looks pretty good. Somebody calls her and says, you know, I'll give you $300 for them right now if you do a buy now offer. She's like, well, let me think about it. calls back, oh, I'll give you $400 for it. Let me sleep on it. Next thing you know, it's an auction. She sold it for $1,388.
Holy mackerel.
$1,388.
That's a nice little profit.
What are you talking?
That's more than an each.
That's pretty awesome.
It's a cha-ching, baby.
So, by the way,
what'd you get for the Mr. T lunchbox?
I don't think she's like, fuck Mr. T.
I pity the fool that ate my lunchbox.
I don't need that lunchbox. I just made $1,300 on a Raggedy Ann and Andy doll, for the love of God.
Awesome.
Yeah, if you want to sell stuff on eBay, you got to watch this show. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, so we're going to go see Believe in a couple, 3 weeks or so. I will report back on whether it was good or not.
Okay.
And I'm certainly hopeful it is. Got an interesting note from Ted.
Oh, you skipped my thing. That's all right.
Oh, no, wait. Did I?
Yeah, you did, but it's okay.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. No,
that's all right.
No,
I didn't know if you maybe changed your mind.
No, I completely missed it. Go.
Well, yesterday, about 4 o'clock, 4:30, I get a phone call from a guy I went to college with. Actually, I've known him since I was about 5 years old. Oh. Our families used to hang out. Our parents were friends and have been friends for 60 years. And he goes, hey, Brett, it's so-and-so. And I'm thinking, holy mackerel. Boy, I haven't talked to this guy since like literally 1988. Not exaggerating. 1988. Right. And he's like, I'm in town. What are you doing tonight? You want to get together? Like, well, let me find out what's going on with the wife at home, and we'll meet you where he was staying at Bellagio. And I said, let's go somewhere casual because my wife was going to come along and just going to grab a bite to eat. And I go, we'll just meet you over at the link. Like, we'll just go to the Yard House.
Yeah, sure.
I'll just meet you over at Yard House, and it's easy for me to get in and out of there.
Now, did you pick the link Yard House versus Red Rock Yard House for a reason?
Well, he was at Bellagio and didn't have a car.
Okay.
So we figured it'd be a much shorter walk for him.
That's the reason.
So. I said, yeah, basically, you're at the Bellagio.
Uber.
You could have walked across the street. Not yet. I go, you just basically walk across the street.
Yeah, right.
Come on over.
Right.
So he comes over, and you know, the long story short, we had a few beers and just were swapping stories and all kinds of stuff. But literally, our families used to vacation together. Mm. And then we ended up going to college together. He was a year ahead of me in college. And just got together. And it's kind of cool to see him. I just hadn't seen him in literally... I'd been out of college since 89. He's been out since 88. This is the last time I saw him.
Did you get him drunk?
I don't know if he got, but I think he wandered his way home. He's 6'8". So it took a lot to get him drunk.
Hard to get drunk.
They are. Believe me, I tried in college. I gave up a long time ago because he was.
You just got to work harder.
Yeah. The cool thing about it is he works for the FBI.
Oh, really?
And he's done some amazing cases. Hmm. And I don't want to say his name or anything, including the Oklahoma City bombing. He was involved in that case.
No kidding.
He used to be stationed in that area where one of the guys were from.
Right.
And now he's back in our area, or near, well, where your family's from and where my family's from.
Southern California?
No, the other side, where the Effing fam is from.
Oh, okay.
Over there. It's funny thing, my wife and daughter are into watching Criminal Minds like crazy. They love the FBI behavioral analysis unit. So she's asking him all kinds of questions. All right, tell me how real that part of it is where they can figure stuff out. He goes, well, we can't quite figure it out in 48 minutes. But
right.
He goes, there are people that's all they do is they profile events and profile things that happen. He told us a story. He goes, this is all public record, so I can tell you the story. When Ferguson was going on, the St. Louis SWAT team was all involved in Ferguson.
Right.
And they got a call. There was a guy who had was held up in his house and had taken a shot at a police officer. So they wanted to have SWAT come in to clear the house and get him out of the house.
Right.
And so since SWAT was busy with what was going on with Ferguson, they called the FBI, and the FBI said, okay, we'll send our guys in to do it. And they're at the steakhouse for basically like 8 hours, and there's no sign of any movement in the house, no signs of anything. They cleared the downstairs. They cleared the windows. They put a robot in to check out the first floor.
Right.
Nothing. No movement, no sense, no nothing. And he goes, so then they decided to bring in the dogs, and the dogs went through the house and into the basement.
Okay.
And the dog was down there for maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and the dog comes back upstairs, nothing.
Good.
Nothing at all. Dog doesn't catch on anything.
Right.
So now they decide to bring some agents in. They bring like 9 agents down into the basement,
right.
and they're looking around, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. The guy's in the basement. They get this. He goes, it's unbelievable. Nobody was hurt except for the guy.
Yeah.
The assailant was killed.
Yeah.
FBI agents were, I think 2 guys were wounded, but they're fine. The guy was in a wardrobe, hanging in a wardrobe, like a suit, you know. Like,
really?
What do you call those things? A wardrobe bag.
Yeah, right.
He's in there for like 10 hours, hanging inside a wardrobe bag. And I'm thinking, that's going to be the strongest wardrobe bag in the world, or this guy weighs 6 pounds. How in the world is that possible?
He's trying out for America's Got Talent.
Apparently. I'm like, wow, what a great story that is. He goes, yeah, he didn't make it out of the basement. We had 9 guys down there, shots going out like crazy, and a lot of guys walked out. Wow. Like, that's pretty amazing.
Did he have a gun in there? Did wardrobe boy have a gun?
Oh yeah, he started shooting at people.
Oh okay.
That's why they found out who he was, where he was. All of a sudden, all hell broke loose. How they said, exactly. Like okay. But pretty crazy stuff. They have to deal with on an ongoing basis. Sure.
Yeah. All right. So in case any of our friends have a problem with the FBI, we know somebody.
The ironic thing is, I know now 3 FBI agents.
Okay.
This will make you okay. This is a real quick story. A year ago, I went to a hockey game in Anaheim with a friend of mine from high school.
Right.
And he goes, "Hey, I'm gonna bring my buddy with me because I brought my sons and we got tickets." And he goes, "I'll bring my buddy with me and we're gonna go to the game." Great, no problem. So his buddy shows up. He's from St. Louis as well. So he goes to a rival high school that I went to. We're just giving each other a little bit of grief. He's an FBI agent. Okay, so we go into the game and they wand everybody as you go into the game, right?
Sure.
So they wand all of us. We all go through. All 5 of us walk in. He's an FBI agent, and he takes 5 steps inside, and he goes, "Oh, shit." And I go, "Well, what?" He goes, "I still have my gun on me."
And they didn't get it?
They didn't get it.
Oh,
nice. Didn't that make you feel it? This was last year.
Nice.
He goes. And
what's he carrying?
He's got his like a 9mm.
A plastic Glock?
No, he's got a 9mm Glock with him. It was a Glock, a 9mm.
Great.
And he goes, "Yeah, it's right in my hip. He goes, "It's right here."
Oh, great.
Normally they have to go and tell them, "Hey, I'm an FBI," and you lock it up.
Yeah.
Oh, he goes, "I completely forgot."
Oh, they don't let him bring it in?
No. You have to check it.
Oh, really?
That's the way you're supposed to do it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so it's kind of amazing.
Well, speaking of repossession, thank you. It's Mr. Segway. I'll be here all week. Ted sent me an interesting article that he had predicted would happen some time ago. I had thought it may happen, and in fact, it's happening. And that is, repossessions of homes are on the rise here in Las Vegas, which doesn't surprise anybody who went through it. Highest number of repossessions in the last 2.5 years happened in May. We had 677 houses repossessed, which sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, until you compare it to April of 2011, when all hell was breaking loose in the homing world. We had over 4,000 homes repossessed in April of 2011.
Now, is it the 600 in May because the banks decided that it was time to kick these guys out?
Exactly right.
Okay.
So what happened is, so there was a law that was passed that said no robo-signing. So it slowed down that 4,000 a month significantly. Okay. And if you look at the curve, it's literally a bell curve. So in April of 2011, it was very tall, 4,000. And then it dropped off significantly immediately because of this new law. So basically, banks were holding on to these houses, and they were trying to help this area recover. Because remember, this was the highest foreclosed city in the country. It was amazing how bad it was. I think at one time it was one out of every 176 houses were being foreclosed there. It was a shit show. So the banks are now saying, okay, we got to get these houses off of our books, basically. So they're picking them up and starting to say, okay, first thing, we're going to foreclose this house from you, but how would you like to lease it back from us?
Right.
Can I sell it to you again, maybe at a more reasonable deal? So they're doing a little bit of that. And still, you know, if you look at what's happening from an underwater perspective, back in 2012, 70%+ of us were underwater.
Right.
I was underwater up in Aliante. Still today, 25% of everybody is underwater. So there's still a lot of people here who got, you know, pretty beat up. They bought in probably 08 or so. But unlike a lot of people, they're still trying to make it happen. As opposed to a lot of other people who are doing the other thing. And that is, they're just not paying, but they're still living in there.
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons for that. The most important one being the banks realize if they kick people out of the houses, now they've got issues with regards to keeping the landscape from keeping the pipes from you know, not having water going through the house, not having electricity, the house is deteriorating.
That's right.
I think it's better off to leave somebody in there, even if they're not paying, knowing that the water's flowing, the yard's okay. Yep.
And there's a word for that. That's called a zombie foreclosure.
Okay.
So right now, 1,900 houses here are zombie foreclosures. In other words, there's nobody living there.
Okay.
So just like you said, weeds, water, things falling apart, breaking into them.
Well, you get squatters. You get teenagers with vandalism. You get the cults going through and doing stuff. Yeah.
So all that's going on right now. Right now, 1 in 590 homes are being foreclosed in Las Vegas versus 1 in 1,041. So it's almost
nationally.
Yeah, 2 to 1. Still more here than nationally. And like I said, all those foreclosed or those zombie guys. So what's interesting is how long it takes to foreclose. I have a friend of mine who went through this process. Actually, a couple friends went through this process, but one was interesting. So the average amount of time it takes to foreclose a house in Las Vegas is 447 days.
Wow.
Over a year.
Well over a year, about 14 months.
Yeah, to just say, you got to get out.
Almost 15 months.
So what that tells you is, that means I don't have to pay rent or mortgage for over a year. So there was this article who said there's a guy who spent 2.5 years. Oh, actually, I knew a guy who spent 2.5 years in his home. It was a $1 million home, didn't pay for it. 2.5 years.
Wow.
So he just saved money. I read an article about this gal who has a $4,000 a month mortgage. She hasn't paid for it in years, but she's rent, and this is in Southern Highlands, but she's renting the house out for $4,000 a month.
Oh, wow.
So she's actually double dipping there.
Okay.
Right?
So she's not paying the mortgage and somebody else
is getting paid.
See, that's a problem. Now you got a renter who's actually paying the mortgage that she's supposed to pay.
Yeah.
They're going to get displaced because the owner's not paying the bill.
Yeah. And
those people, quite frankly, they should be prosecuted.
Yeah. So
they should be prosecuted.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely agree. So that's, I think there's an issue with that.
There's, one thing, it's one thing if you sincerely can't pay your mortgage.
Right.
And because it was too big, your house not worth the much, you lost your job, whatever.
Yep.
But if you're deliberately committing fraud by accepting money from a renter and not paying your obligations, you should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
And I'll be the first to say, I don't really have a lot of compassion for that foreclosed environment. Mm-hmm. Most of those people bought houses that they couldn't afford.
Right.
They didn't have the money. They really didn't have the money to do it. And it's a logic thing for the love of God. I mean, you can look at it and go, this is $250,000 house or whatever. I'm making $40,000 a year or whatever. You know what? That math isn't what it should be.
Well, I think there's a couple of things. When we suddenly decided that everybody had to go to college, well, everybody doesn't have to go to college.
Nope.
And when we suddenly decided that everybody had to buy a home, well, everybody doesn't have to buy a home.
Or it's a different kind
because
of home.
Because what happens is, and what happened was, you're letting people go into a home with no money down. So I don't necessarily feel sorry, and I haven't felt sorry, for people who walked into a home with no money down and then couldn't afford their mortgage. To me, with no skin in the game, they basically were renting it anyway.
That's right.
Right? It's no different than getting an apartment.
Completely agree.
Now, if I walked into a house with my wife and we put $50,000, $100,000 into a house and suddenly we lost our jobs and we couldn't afford our mortgage, I lost $100,000 plus whatever I put into my house.
That's right.
And I'm out on the street. Now, that person deserves to have some help.
That's a different
from the federal government or the state or whoever.
I don't disagree with that.
So we suddenly had cocktail waitresses, not just picking on.
Who are buying.
Four houses.
Well,
on an income
of
$60,000.
That happened in our neighborhood.
It happened in Vegas a lot in 2008.
And the neighborhood I had in Aliante, we had somebody buy four houses.
Right.
And all four were foreclosed.
Right.
Right. And it's like, well, fuck, come on. During that time, our house appreciated in value $100,000 in 6 months. I mean, come on.
Right. That's where you sell it if you're thinking
of that.
If you just were Kreskin and go, I'm selling it, I'm pocketing $100,000.
Melissa's
I'm gonna wait for the adjustment.
Melissa's like, this is great. I'm like, this is fucking bullshit.
Right.
There is no way this is sustainable. And we're the same people who build our houses, D.R. Horton, D.H. Horton, whatever they're called, built the exact same houses outside of Aliante, and our house, our exact house, same size lot, $100,000 more.
Right.
They're selling them for $100,000. I'm like, well, I'm telling you, this cannot be sustained.
It's not.
There's something so wrong with what's happening.
My wife agreed with you. She was saying the exact same thing because I had some friends and relatives who were in real estate, and they're saying she's not going to last. Mm. So it's just not going to last because our house went up 300%.
Oh, really?
300% from 2000. We moved in 2000, so into 2000 before the crash, 2007 or 8 or 6.
Yeah.
Went up 300%.
Yeah. So what I want to tell you is this. The housing market here is pretty stable.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like all these foreclosures, while can certainly depress and put pressure down on the housing market here, it doesn't sound like the banks are going to let that happen.
Right, right.
They're going to try to just, you know, eke that stuff out there. And actually, we have a pretty low, well, we used to have a pretty low inventory anyways in our in the MLS. And I think that the proper inventory is, I knew this. I think it was normally 6 months or 12 months. And our inventory was half that recently, like when we bought this
house.
Right. So we can actually afford to have more houses on the market. But like I've always said, I think this is a great place to live from a housing perspective, because the kinds of houses that you can get here for the money, whatever, where I've lived.
Well, but there's something to consider, which is, you know, if you're from the Midwest or you're from the East, you're used to perhaps having a basement. Many people have basements that they use as finished space, not just storage. So you could have a 2,000 square foot house in the Midwest, for example, but you're going to have 1,000 to 1,200 square feet in the basement. You really have a 3,200 square foot house, and you take part of it and make it a family room or a rec room, whatever, and you have storage. Well, the problem in Las Vegas is, unless you have a million-dollar home with a basement, they're not digging into the caliche, and you don't have any storage because you do not have a basement. The vast majority of people don't have basements.
We looked at a couple houses with basements.
I did, too, and I was about to, it's the only reason why I was going to buy it. Like, oh, I want to buy it because it's got a basement.
Man, I'll tell you what.
You know,
that was Amityville Horror kind of stuff there, baby.
Oh, this one, there's a couple. There's a couple houses right down the road here. I actually went across this, not too far from here that I almost bought because it had a basement.
Really?
But it was right at that time. It was 2007, right before the crash. And I'm going,
dodge the bullet, brother.
I don't want to pay $800,000, $900,000 for a house.
Yeah, I know.
And then we did put an offer in on a house over off of Buffalo and Sahara.
Right.
And it was around that time, right before I had, it was probably 2010 or so. And it was in the range of about $400,000 or $500,000, but it was a 4,000 square foot house. It had a basement. It had a $200,000 backyard. It was in foreclosure. It was a spectacular house. Okay. Yeah. So it's in foreclosure, short sale.
Yeah.
So we put an offer in, we got accepted. It, like this time of the year, we put our earnest money down and you wait. I mean, a short sale is, you have to wait forever.
They're horrible.
Christmas came around. I'm like, you know what?
Let's get out.
Well, I forget what the house looks like now, quite frankly, right? And it was across the street from a good friend of mine, and we pulled out, we got our money back, and I saw, you know, I see him all the time, and he goes, yeah, that house now, it's probably worth about $800,000.
Yeah.
Like, that would have doubled in like 3 years. Yeah. It's a beautiful house, and once the market came back, but you're thinking,
yeah, but you can't wait for five,
it was 6 months. You're like, oh my goodness. Nuts. Plus going through the stuff I was going through at the time. So,
but anyways, the point of it is this. I'm still super bullish about buying houses here. I'm super bullish in the real estate market here because it's finally corrected itself. You know, and for the folks who, you know, a lot of folks who listen to us in like Phoenix or in California, besides the rest of the country and the world, you know, if you compare what's happening in the Bay Area, for example, to what's happening here, if you can get a job here, get your ass here.
Right.
Because the value, I mean, first of all, you get a raise just because you don't pay state taxes. Kind of neat. This house that I live in, which is a pretty nice house, if this house was in where I used to live,
It'd be $2 million.
It would just be stupid.
Right.
Just stupid.
Right.
You know, the house that I left, which was just a little
tiny little,
It was 1,580 square feet. That house right now is a $1 million house.
That's crazy.
It's just the dumbest thing in the world.
Exactly.
It makes no sense. All right. Hey. We had a very big fire. Yeah, come on.
That's all I know. It's what Samson and Delilah or something. But anyway,
Delilah.
That's one of the words. No. One of the things. As you go through and sing the
Ohio
song.
Ohio player.
Fire. Oh, anyway, God. The El Cajon Pass.
Sometimes white people should not sing.
I should never sing. For folks who are not from Las Vegas, if you want to drive to Southern California, you take Interstate, the I-15.
Yep.
And you drive from Las Vegas to Los Angeles, or you drive over to San Diego. You drive through a part on your way just on the other side of Victorville and just before San Bernardino called the El Cajon Pass, which is about a drop of what, maybe a 1,000-foot drop over the mountains down in the pass. And it's an area that's just desert and road. And they are prone to mudslides and wildfires. And on, was it Friday? The interstate was closed because there was a wildfire. Not just a fire, but a fire that jumped the highway and put cars on fire as it jumped the highway.
It looked like the apocalypse.
Oh, it did. Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine going, come on, kids, get in the car. We're going to Vegas.
We're going to Disneyland. Whee! And we're going to Disneyland.
Whichever direction.
Right?
Doesn't matter. Both sides got screwed.
Is that a fire?
Huh. Well, that's not something you see every day, is it?
What
is
I drove that, by
mom,
a,
dad?
Yeah.
It's a fire.
I drove by a fire about a month ago when I was driving from Phoenix to San Diego up around Palm Springs. There was a fire there as well. And I tell you what, when I was in San Diego on Saturday morning, there was a thunderstorm that was brewing down there on Saturday morning. I heard the loudest thunder and the brightest light. I swear to God, I thought the lightning bolt came in my left pocket. I'm like that. Pocket. I mean, it was like, it was so close. You're like, it. I mean, I jumped. Really? I'm like, oh my. And I walked outside. It was about 6 o'clock. So the sun was kind of coming out, or it was getting light out because the sun wasn't out. It was pouring down sheets of rain.
Right.
And I walked outside and there's a bunch of other people on the street. They were kind of outside. Just kind of looked at each other. Like, that was pretty close. The guy goes, yeah, that was pretty close. Like, because I had the window open. I'm like, oh my God. It's, I mean, it scared the
crazy.
Crap out
so
of
here's me. What's crazy about that story. First of all, holy shit. Because I actually thought about it. How would you react to the fact that you are in a movie environment? Here comes the fire. Where do I go?
You can't go
anywhere. I go up. Holy crap. There's fire come from that. That's a pretty spooky thing.
Plus there's cars everywhere.
Yeah. And there's, you know, big rigs on fire. And it's crazy. But wait, there's more. So there was a big report that there was a bunch of guys with drones. And listen, I get it. I'm a video guy. Drones are pretty cool. So these idiots and drones are flying these drones over this. Awesome. But the problem is, is it the FAA? The fly people?
Yeah.
Basically said, you can't fly your planes. You know, the planes that drop crap to put out fire? Can't go up there. There's a drone up there. So they grounded all these planes because there were drones flying around.
That's ridiculous.
Unbelievable. So I think clearly what has to happen is there has to be a, you know, a safety kind of reasonability thing. Oh yeah, if there's an emergency go on, you got to keep the drones grounded. Did you see that video of the guy who had a drone and he was flying it over a house that was on fire, and a bunch of firemen were working, and the firemen were like, eh.
That's what I would do. Or take a shotgun and shoot it.
Yeah.
You know.
Atta boy. Take creepy, that. Man. I would be completely freaked out if I were in that environment. Right. And if I saw a drone in front of me, I'd be like, oh, you fuck. That's not what I need right now. I'm trying to save my life or my family life. I would like my car not to
be burned. Where are these people that are guiding the drones? How far away are they?
Not very far.
Yeah, they gotta be relatively close.
They
gotta be stuck in the traffic jam, don't they?
Well,
there's nothing around there. It's not like they're hanging out in the neighborhood.
They had to be around. I mean, they weren't like.
I saw where the fire was.
There's a fire.
There's nothing anywhere near there.
Let me go to the backyard and fly my drone up.
I mean, the fire was at the bottom of the pass, is where. You know, where the highway's still split down there?
Yeah.
Down at the very bottom, that's where the fire kind of was.
Yeah, it's pretty lame, though. Speaking of lame, both Brett and I had stories of misbehaving kids in our office space. Now, is this a Las Vegas thing? Nay. Mm. Is it a parenting thing?
Yay. Yay.
Brett?
Well, today, after lunch, I come back to my office, and I'm walking into my office, and there's a woman with her two children walking into the office at the same time. And her kids were maybe 10 and 8 years old or whatever. So I hold the door for them. They walk in, and the woman looks at the floor of the radio station, and she says, oh, my gosh. Already in my office is another woman with about a 6-year-old.
Okay.
And the 6-year-old, we have pamphlets in our office for clients to advertise their businesses.
Right.
You know, probably not a lot of them right now at this time of the year, but you know, there's probably 20 of them.
Sure.
But I look on the floor and there's 50, 60 pamphlets, like pretty nice trifle of brochures, all over the floor.
Right.
Now, the lady that walked in the door with me had no idea who I was.
Right.
So I look at the 6-year-old kid and I go, did you do this? She kind of looks at me like sheepishly, clean it up.
Oh, the kid with the girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a little girl. I go, clean it up.
Right.
And her mother has her back to me. She's at the counter talking to the girl who works for me. And the girl who works for me did not see all the stuff on the floor.
Right.
The girl was playing with a fan over by the light socket and kind of hiding under the table. She saw that and told her not to play with the fan.
That's good.
But meanwhile, the mom didn't say anything. Even when I said, pick it up, clean it up.
What happened?
I go, you do this at home? Yeah. I mean, I was just like that.
Yeah.
So she started picking it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I walked away.
Yeah.
So I talked to one of the other people who worked at the radio station. I'm going, can you come out here and take a look at this?
Yeah.
The mom never, ever said a word to her child.
Even after
completely oblivious.
Wait. So never even looked at me. She didn't give her any kind of feedback?
She didn't even acknowledge that I said anything.
Really?
Like, who are you to talk to my kid like this?
Did she give you that vibe?
No, she never turned her back. She never even turned around to look at me.
Yeah. Okay, so.
And I'm thinking, come on a second.
Let me ask you something. Was she a later in life parent?
Probably. Yeah. I'd say, well, she's probably in her mid-30s. How about that?
And it's a six-year-old, mid-30s, late 20s. That's not so
late. It's not so late. No.
That's not so late. Because I tend to find later in life parents tend to be more, what's the word? Oh, yeah, lame when it comes to taking care providing the kids. So we had, we were doing this late night shoot last night, and a kid is in there. And I'm busy, setting stuff up because this is a long, very complex shoot. Not a co-op thing. This is a big money thing. So we're working on it. And I'm, working with the mom and the other mom and the makeup thing. And I just happened to be, first of all, so I'm actually shooting. Actually, you were there.
Right.
So the kid kind of walks.
There's a couple of kids at the time.
One kid. So the kid kind of just walks around.
How old?
Eight.
Okay.
I'm guessing. So he kind of walks in without any supervision and kind of looks in, walks into the groovy lounge, watches, the shooting.
Right,
and
I'm
like, that doesn't make me real happy. So you guys get done, you guys take off. And so we're getting stuff set up. And so we're doing this for a while. And I walk out into the lobby of our studio, and there's a fucking pile of candy wrappers on the floor. Just fuck. We have that thing of candy. So there's like eight or nine candy wrappers by the leg of a chair, just fucking piled there. I look in the groovy lounge. There's some more candy wrappers on the fucking floor. I'm like, so I said, hey, did you do that? Just like that.
Right.
Did you do that? Mom looks at me and she's like, I said, come here. You do that? Clean that up. Mom was freaked out.
Right.
She was really embarrassed by that. We have a really good relationship. So kid's like, so this is what makes me crazy about, I mean, when I was a parent of young kids, and they will tell you, that shit never would have happened.
I agree with you. It didn't happen in our house either.
Behave, do nice things, say hello, say please, thank you. Don't drop shit all over the place.
Well, even when the kids are misbehaving, let's say, for example, you go to a nice restaurant or you take them to church and there's places where they have to be quiet. Our kids, three of them, we never went into the cry room at church.
The cry room?
There's a cry room where you take all the babies to go cry.
Oh.
And they can run around the cry room and they're 3 and 4 years old and they're playing and they're running around. They think they're at the fucking gymboree, for Christ's sake.
Clearly, I've never been to church.
You've never been to church. Okay, but like if our kids got fussy, we would pick them up and take them away from the problem.
Right.
And you take them for a walk outside, or if you're at the restaurant and they're fussy, you take them away.
Right.
So you're not bothering other people. There was a story just the other day, a lady running a restaurant, and she's actually short cooking, and there's a two-year-old in the restaurant screaming for like a half an hour.
Yeah.
And there's maybe 60, 70 other people in the restaurant. And the lady did just what you did. She came out of the kitchen and he goes, hey, you, shut up. Okay? And the kid shut up.
Yeah. Well,
of course, the parents are like, did you just talk to my child that way?
Yeah.
Now, wait a second, mom and dad. Have you not been, you obviously have not been paying any attention at all that your kid has been doing this for half an hour.
And I tell you, kids crave that. They want to be given
discipline.
Direction.
Absolutely.
I don't mean the spanking. I don't mean that. I just mean they want to be told, do this, don't do that. Because you know why? They don't know what to do. It's all kind of new to them. Should I do this? And they're going to test you. So you go, you know what? That doesn't play out. Don't do that crap. Don't do that shit. Stop doing that. That's cool. Let's have some fun. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying, God damn it. Watch your kids.
Right.
So they're not creating little havocs of horror, in a business environment. Your place, my place.
Happens
all the time. Restaurants, for fuck's sake. Stop that crap.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's you're embarrassed from the standpoint. Look, if you're the mom or dad, You don't want to be bothering other people with your kid and then say, oh, it's just cute. They're just fussing.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to eat a nice meal. And what really, there's plenty of people who bring kids to places where kids shouldn't go. So your right. example yesterday, where a lady knows she's going to be working for hours in your studio, she shouldn't be bringing her kids there.
Right.
Now, if a mom's coming to my place and are picking up an order, they're there for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I understand. No problem. Bring your kid.
We were there for 5 hours.
What drives, exactly. The kid shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
Okay. The kid shouldn't have been there. So well, you got to make that arrangement next time by being an ass and say, hey, no kid.
But I'll say this. I mean, I know her husband as well. Her husband's right. out of town. Didn't have a babysitter. Okay, fine. But you just have to create an environment where the kid recognizes this is what you're allowed to do. And by the way, that happened afterwards. She, you know, she had a big boy talk and like, okay, here's what's going to go on. You're going to go in the break room. You're going to watch videos and you're going to just sit there.
Right.
You're not going to do anything else. Or we've got a camera for you, a camera. You can, you know, shoot, you know, grandma doing her stuff, but you're going to sit there. Right. And that was the right thing to do. So it got turned around, but it was just completely off the rails in the right. beginning. And I have so little tolerance for that, especially when I'm trying to do business
sure.
and do good work. That, I just got crazy.
Okay.
But speaking of celebrities, I love that. We had Lou Gossett Jr. on the network last week. And I got to tell you something.
Come on, mayonnaise.
I tell you what, man. I don't know. You can't really see it in that shot down there. But that guy has won every award you can win for acting. He's got Emmys. He's got in that shot, he's got an Oscar behind him. He's all that.
He's very good.
But I'll tell you what. I was a little concerned that he would be kind of a douchebag, you know, one of those, you know, I'm a right, super right. fancy, I'm a, you know, I don't get a, opposite,
okay.
just super nice.
Good.
Because it started off where, you know, this is a Skype thing that we did. And so, you know, normally I connect to Skype and I talk to people. Well, he had an assistant do that. And I'm okay. like, okay, here we go. This is going to be one of those things. But what was kind of funny about it was I'm talking to the assistant, but he was like, just off the side so he could hear everything I was saying. And I could hear him say to the assistant, oh, yeah, we understand. But I'm like, oh, well, fuck. You could have just been sitting right there, Louie. We could have had this talk. That would have been all right. But he gets on there, super friendly, all smiles, laughing, kidding around. God, it was so much fun.
Good.
And because that's what you want. Because we've talked with, like, we had a, what was that guy's name? There was a show called Something with Mr. Cooper.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who was the guy who was in that?
Oh, I forget. But it was I watched it for a while.
Great show, right?
Yeah.
That guy is such a dick.
Really?
Such a dick. And his persona, he's a stand-up. What's that guy's name?
His name was Mark Cooper.
No. Is that his name?
Former NBA player Mark Cooper. I think it was.
From Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Oh, what's the guy's name?
Mark Cooper. All right, there you go.
Yeah, the cast is actually, I think the guy's name is Mark Cooper.
So he comes.
Mark Curry.
Okay, is that right? Yeah. So we did a show on the network called Awkward Silence, and which was a comedians interviewing comedians.
Right.
And he comes in with just this fucking attitude before he even walked in. Just kind of pissing and moaning. What am I doing here? I'm like, oh, man, here we go. He couldn't get happy. Gilbert Gottfried.
Right.
We had him there. Not super friendly.
Really?
Not super friendly. Now, when both times when the lights turned on and we were actually shooting, oh, they were charming as hell. Mr. Funny, Mr. Giggles, Mr. All This. But afterwards, oh, they were such a pain in the ass. So I'm like, oh, God, is Louis Gossett Jr. going to be that guy? On the other hand, Andrew Dice Clay?
Right.
Couldn't be nicer.
Well, that's good.
And you would have thought that guy could have been a real pain in the ass.
Right.
He was a little late. So he came in and we had already started the show. So he came in. I'm like, hey, what's happening, Dice? Here's your mic. Go sit down. And he's like, well, okay.
I'm late.
He did his shtick, came out super friendly. I got a lot of gigs because he told a guy who told a guy about what we did because
Perfect.
Of Andrew Dice Clay.
That's
the kind of guy you want. And Louis Gossett Jr. Was a very similar kind of deal. So I dug that as well. All right. Finally, before we take, I got a whole bunch of other shit I want to do. Stop by the Bellagio Conservatory under the sea.
Oh, very nice.
Under the sea. Ba-ba-da-doo, beep-ba-doo-doo. We took some effing fam over to the...
Melissa making an appearance.
There's Melissa there, everybody. Thank you very much. at the Under the Sea property. It was very lovely, and there was water and fishes and stuff. It was very pretty and dark. I would recommend going and taking your camera because it's lovely. All right. Here's what I really did this last week. It was my job to take the men on a debauchery-filled evening.
Did you ever get to a strip club?
Nope. And that wasn't going to happen.
Well, then it wasn't debauchery.
Right. So I had to, you know, kind of balance the debauchery.
Okay.
Because it's funny because Braden was like, after this last week, he went to Melissa's like, yeah, you know, Scott said he's going to, this is one time he perks up. Scott said he's going to take us to Sapphire. Right. And Melissa's like, the fuck he did. He and I have already had this talk. You're not going to Sapphire. Oh, no, no. He said he'd do it. Nope, not going. All right. So what I did instead is I took him to Fremont Street, which is just like Sapphire. So right. No, that's not true. So Friday night, we decided, okay, I'm going to take these guys out to Fremont Street and really get at it and kind of show them what I think is kind of the fun stuff. Now, I haven't been to Fremont Street in months.
Right.
Melissa doesn't like it. So I'm not going to go down by myself. That's sad and lonely. But I got some people out of town. Hell, we're going to Fremont Street because you've already done. Oh, you loved it like Brett does. Let's go downtown and see what it's really like.
Let's go see the freak show.
Let's go see the freak show. So we head over to Four Seasons.
Four Queens.
That's it. We're going to Four Queens.
Actually, Four Kings now because it is a transgender hotel. I'm joking. Kidding, I'm just joking.
All right, so we're going to go to a show there at the Four Queens. We'll talk about it in a second. But the first thing I'm like, okay, you guys want to do a little gambling? Yeah, of course we do.
Yeah.
Get a little bit of money for the tax boys here in Las Vegas. So I'm showing them, you know, here's the newest thing from this company, and here's this newest thing from that company, and this is pretty cool, and this is the IGT thing, and here's what they sat down in. Boom. Both of them sat down in arguably the oldest machines in Las Vegas.
Wow.
The real reels.
You're at the Four Queens.
Yeah, at the Four Queens.
Okay.
So those are real reels.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
The real, and they both went right to them. I'm like, look, there's Sex in the City. Look, there's Ghostbusters. And they're like, nope. We just want to go right there.
Which
was so funny. IGT's a customer. I'm like, I've got some intel for you guys. You may not have to spend much money for the Midwesterns. Just keep doing the reels because that's what they wanted to do. So we're doing the reels and having a good time. And they're like, hey, is this where we get the free drinks? Yeah, you goddamn right. We get free drinks. Come over here. Woo! That was awesome. So they're doing reels. Of course, they lost.
Of course it was. You're down $20. How was that $20 beer you bought there? Right?
I'm like, the way you have to look at this is entertainment. Right? The blinky lights, all the people around you. It's great people watching, and you do get a free drink. And don't forget to tip the waitress and blah, 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 blah. I think actually I might have bought their first other round because I want them to feel pretty good about what's going on. All right. Then we saw probably my favorite. Yeah. Easily my favorite show in downtown. And that is Mike Hammer.
Oh. Hammered.
Mike's a good guy, super talented comedian / magician, does a lot of crowd work, which means he works in the crowd. Clever term, that crowd work. And this was kind of a rough night that Friday. It was not a super warm crowd, but he handled it. And which is super fun to watch a guy who's got a rough room and then own it. And Mike is arguably the best at it. He's also a nice guy, and he's a hustler. I mean, he's out there working his ass off. He was just on Penn & Teller's show,
right?
Which is called Trick Me or Lie to Me or whatever it is. They do it. You do a trick for Penn & Teller, and if they can't guess it, how it worked, you win. And I think he did a trick the same. He did the trick on the show, as a matter of fact, and they couldn't guess it.
Wow.
It's pretty cool, right? So I want to thank Mike for, he set us up with some VIP tickets, which was really cool of him. And go see Mike Hammer. It is my go-to show for if you don't want to pay hundreds of dollars for like a Cirque or Absinthe or whatever. Mike does just an outstanding, outstanding job. So we left there, and then we're kind of walking around Fremont. And if you're an out-of-town guy, if you're a Midwestern guy, if you're an Effingham, Fremont Street at nighttime is like magic.
Right. Well, it's Times Square. It's Bourbon Street. It's all rolled into one. Yeah.
And I was so
Sunset Strip.
It was so much fun because I hadn't been there in a while, And you kind of remember mm-hmm. how it is the first time. So, you know, there's bars everywhere and we're ordering the big drinks and they're having a great time. And then we come up on the spray paint can guys.
Okay.
The painters or a painter. And we're watching this guy and I'm like, well, this is kind of a real quintessential Vegas-y thing. Let's watch this guy. So he starts spray painting and he's doing this thing. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then he starts designing this Vegas-centric thing. I'm like, God damn, that's really good. And my guys are like, damn. Well, they're really good.
So they're like, not from Alabama, for crying out loud.
That's like a doing it. Like, this is really cool. I'm like, I gotta know more about this thing. So I reached out to him. I'm like, you know what? That's pretty cool. I'll have it.
Or you bought
so
it.
So I do. So...
Look at that.
This.
The Fountains at Bellagio.
Is what this guy did. Now, this guy's name is Ed Garardio. And his website is Artist Ed, G-A-R-E-D-U-A-R-D-O. And so I asked him, I said, this is pretty neat, man. I'm going to put this up in my studio. You know that hallway I have with nothing in there? I'm going to start my own gallery. Vegas-centric gallery. Isn't that fun? So there's the, over here is the
Stratosphere. Where do we get the Luxor? The Stratosphere.
Here's the Stratosphere, Luxor. I think that's Paris. Bellagio, the Bellagio Fountain.
The Wind
here.
To the right.
Wind to the, yeah, I mean, it's really nice. Pretty cool.
Little New York action there. Yeah. Just on the other side.
And, you know, it has a Velvet Elvis kind of vibe. Yeah. But you know what? I really dug it. And what was interesting about this painting was when he was painting it, you could hear the audience go, like, wow. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. So I talked to the guy. I'm like, so what's your deal, man? Do you do this full time? He goes, no. I'm like, really? What do you do? I'm a landscaper. Really? Okay. He goes, do you want to do this full time? Yeah. So do you have a plan? Yeah. What would the plan be? 6 to 12 months, he wants to be doing that full time. And he has an Etsy website, that website I just gave you. It's got a ton of those kind of paintings on there. I asked him, well, how did you get started in this? He goes, well, I was looking for a hobby. A hobby. And you started doing that?
I'm a part of the Latin Kings, and we've worked as a spray painter for a while.
That was started off as a hobby, and he's one of the guys in Fremont Street that has their own official booth. Okay. In other words, he's not busking. It's an official thing, and he's killing it there, man.
What's he charge for that?
$40.
Okay.
$40. Now,
how long does it take him to do it?
No time. Maybe
10 minutes?
Maybe five, 10 minutes tops.
Really?
Tops.
Wow.
And it's cool because...
See, like Bob Ross, he's got a happy tree over there and he's got a happy bush.
I'm about the flowers and the clouds. No, so what he does here is he paints just big layers of paint on here and then he takes a scraper.
Right.
And he scrapes.
Well, that's what Bob Ross did.
That's right. Yeah. So he scrapes this. Well, no. This is a takeaway. So this yellow paint was underneath the black paint. What okay. Bob Ross did is he was doing palette-based stuff. So this is a takeaway. It's like that. It used to be a toy where you would scratch off. Or you remember you took some crayons, sure. You put some black paint, let it dry, and you scratched it off? That's what he's doing there.
That's still pretty cool.
Five, 10 minutes. He's got them all around. People are taking pictures and are buying this stuff. It was very, very cool. And I asked him, so, you know, what was the best memory you've got from doing this? He goes, people cry all the time. And they're like...
I can't believe I had to pay $40 for that.
I'll take it. But it's so lovely.
Does he just do Vegas stuff?
No.
He'll do whatever they want.
He does all kinds of stuff. Okay. But I think his Etsy page has all kinds of crazy stuff. He has robots and all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
But you know, in the Las Vegas area, he's probably
doing it's a great mostly, talent. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it was super, super impressive. So we do that. You know, I pick up my painting. I'm like, okay. Let's go. Hogs and Heifer, baby.
Oh, there you go.
They're like, okay, well, what's Hogs and Heifer? Oh, it'll make you
feel
like
home.
We're going
to show you what Hogs and Heifers are.
Let's come on.
Not the Hogs and Heifers you're thinking about.
So, you know.
Giddy up.
Right, they got the big old guy out there. It was never happy. He's about 155,000 pounds. He's like, yeah, go on in there. And, of course, they've got the bull horns. Hey, you fucker. I'm like, yeah, what do you guys think of this? And they're like, they're a little freaked out. They're like, not really sure. I said, hey, this is going to be a lot of fun. Chill. All right, let's go get a drink. And so the young guy, Braden, I'm like, yeah, you got to get up there and talk to that one. Not really. Don't really want to do it. No. She wants to talk to you. And she called him out because he does this thing where he's just kind of no smiles. Same thing that Mike said.
Right,
hey, smiley, you know, break a grin, pal. You'll be okay. So he's kind of looking around trying to be hip. And I'm Mr. Gregarious. Come on. So this gal's like, hey, you, blondie, you with the shirt, get over here. And he's like, what do I do? So you got to go over. You got to talk to her. She's like, buy me a drink. And he's like, what? Are we allowed to do that? I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. Go buy her a drink. And this is the person she bought a drink for.
I know exactly who that is. I've been there before, and she was a bartender when I was there.
Yeah, she's awesome, man.
She's very good.
So, you know, bought her a drink, took a picture, made him famous in the effing fam. And loved that place. And then we went to the Inspire Theater, which I've never been inside the theater itself. Mm-hmm. On the third floor, they have a bar up there. It's a beautiful view.
Right.
You can see downtown. You can kind of look down Fremont Street, the Fremont Street Experience. I'm like, this is awesome, too. They're like, well, hell, look at this.
What casino is that in?
It's not. It's a standalone theater.
Wow.
I don't know how big it is. It's probably a couple hundred seats, maybe. And I've never been in there. But you go in there, take a hard right, go up some like secret elevator, boom. You're on this really cool lounge, three stories up. You're like, well, look at this. It's all very cool. And they were loving it. Man, I was loving it. It was completely cool. And then, second night, now the girls join us.
So all the fun ends.
So then we stop having fun.
Exactly.
Except for this. I'm gonna call out the coolest guy I've ever met.
You're welcome.
In a casino.
Oh, sorry.
Other than you.
Okay.
So Braden's 21 years old and he wants to play cards. Been talking about it the whole week.
Blackjack or what?
Blackjack. Okay. Well, he's like, you know, maybe some Texas Hold'em. I said, maybe not. You are not playing Texas Hold'em. You're going to get
not?
Well, because he's going to get his ass beat.
Well,
and I don't want him to get his ass beat. There's nothing less fun than going, was that it?
that's what craps does to you.
Well,
if you don't know how to play craps.
It all can do that to you if you're not paying attention. So we go to El Cortez. And I'm like,
good old fashioned Las Vegas fun.
This is perfect.
The El Cortez.
And I'm like, we need to get you a cheap blackjack, $5 a hand kind of stuff. Single deck, $5 a hand. That's what we're looking for. Guess what? El Cortez, single deck, $5 a hand. I'm like, perfect. Let's go here.
On a Saturday night.
On a Saturday night, which is impossible to find on the strip. So we go, we're looking around. I'm saying, okay, here's what you're looking for. You know what? You want to find a place. Not too many people. You're going to want to take it easy. So we sit down at this place. One gal, he's by himself. And I look at him and he's shaking. He's nervous.
Right. First time gambling.
Which is cute.
Like his first time with a prostitute.
That's right.
Oh, sorry.
Just like that. Except for the part where he doesn't get that itchy, scrabby thing at the end. What are you going to do? You wash this right out. Nothing to worry about. So he's a little nervous and he's sitting down. I'm like, okay, you know, you can go out and buy these cards that tell you exactly how to play every hand. And I talked to the pit boss and I'm like, you're allowed to bring these cards. It's like, yeah, we want you to have as good a time as possible. I'm like, cool. But we didn't have a card. So he gets a couple hands, and I'm like, okay, you know, this, you know, my guy is kind of new here. You know, what would you recommend? He goes, well, just show us the cards. Doesn't matter. We have to play what we play anyways. So let me see what you got. And so he shows him. And this guy, and his name was Sonny Welch, who was the
casino floor
supervisor at the El Cortez, basically the pit boss. Nicest guy. I actually said to him, hey, can I take a picture of your badge? I won't take a picture of your face, but can I take a picture of your badge? Because I'm going to call you out as being the greatest guy I've ever seen in a pit. It's like, sure. There you go. So, you know, he really gave him advice, really good advice. You may want to play it like you are, you know, the dealer itself.
Well, the thing about blackjack, though, is where was he sitting at the table? Where was
Well, so at the beginning he was by himself,
okay.
And then eventually two matter. Guys played to his left.
So then it would well,
and then another person added to right. So at the end it got a little bit busier. But
if you're playing blackjack and you don't know what you're doing and you make a mistake, Oh, yeah, you're not just messing up your own hand. You're fucking up everybody else behind you, and people get mad at you.
Right.
What are you doing? You're hitting 17. He's showing, or he's 16. He's showing a five over there. Right. What are you doing? He'll get mad at you.
And that was, you know, that kind of stuff. It's the opposite at El Cortez. Well, that's good. Everybody was trying to help. And I basically made it real clear. This is a new cat. He's just trying to figure it out. And so we had support from everybody, the dealer, the pit boss, the players on the side. It was the perfect environment for somebody who's never played before. And he played for about $20, put $20 down. He played for probably 40 minutes.
Well, that's pretty good.
That's very good.
Success, yeah.
Yeah, and eventually he got, you know, burned out. And I actually told him to tip, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later. I told him to tip because they spent a lot of time teaching you how to play.
That's cool.
And you should pay for that.
Well, I got a story of the opposite of that. So I used to play, I mean, it's funny because Malia mentioned Paigao. When I first came to town and the Orleans opened up, I played Paigao like crazy. Loved Paigao.
Really?
And I kept track for about, I don't know, a month or so, how many hands of Paigao I played. And in Paigao, I don't know if you ever played Paigao or not. It's a card game. It's a 7-card card game. You play for $5 or $10, whatever.
Right.
Or, you know, $500 if you want to. And you only win, you play actually playing your high hand and your low hand, both hands have to beat the dealer. You're only playing against the dealer.
All right.
If you win one and tie one, you don't win. If you win one and lose one, it's a push. And you lose if the dealer wins both ways. So really, you're pushing and pushing and pushing a lot.
Okay.
So you're drinking for free.
So it could last for a long time.
You're drinking for free.
Yep.
You pay when you win because the game is a slow game. So you're paying a 5% bounty every time you win.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So you're paying, like, if you know, it's for $5, you're paying an extra quarter. If you play a $20 hand, you're giving them a dollar. You're paying a bit because there's just not as many hands.
Right, okay.
So a friend of mine came into town. I said, let's go play Paigao. He's never really gambled much before. I'll show you how to play. It's a fun game. And at the Orleans, we can talk about the cards together. How would you play this hand? So, for example, if you got two pair, let's say you had a pair of aces and a pair of jacks in your hand.
Right.
And those are your seven cards. You would play your high hand, which is a pair of aces, on the bottom. And you'd play your second best hand, your pair of jacks, on top. And then it means it takes three of a kind on the bottom for you to lose, and it takes queens or better for you to lose on top. And the best anybody could ever have on top is aces.
Yeah.
Or the best that could possibly be on top. So we were playing for a while at the Orleans, and the next night, well, the girls, whatever, we went to the Rio. And we're playing Paigao for a little while at the Rio while the girls were shopping or whatever the heck they were doing.
Right.
And I'm telling him how to play his hand. And the Rio lady, the dealer, says, you can't tell him. You can't show him.
Really?
I'm like, oh, that's weird. Because I was, you know, this was probably 15 years ago. Like, that's weird. At the Orleans, we can do that. So a couple of times, you know, a couple of hands later, you want to play it this way. Sir, you can't do that. I say, really? Why not? Why can't I do that? Other casinos let me do that.
Right.
So just, you can't do that. So a couple more hands go by, and I did it again. I just instinctively going, I would probably do it. Sir, you can't do that. And I'm thinking, you know what? I could do that at the Orleans.
Did you just leave?
And the pit boss comes over and he goes, well, you're not at the Orleans.
Oh,
and I
said,
you know what? I'm not at the fucking Rio anymore either. And I've never stepped foot in the Rio again.
You're like me.
You know, fuck you.
You will ban a place without even breathing.
You know,
hard,
I mean,
right?
it's just customer service.
Yep.
And it's like, if you're going to do that.
I completely do that,
the guy's brand new. We're playing $5 a hand. What am I going to do? Suddenly, we've taken down the Rio $5 at a time.
right?
We're not cheating. We're playing Paigao. We're the only two people at the table.
Right.
He doesn't understand exactly how it's going yet. We played 15 hands.
Right.
I'm telling him to whatever. Sorry, sir, you can't help him.
Well, that's my point. Whatever. That's why the El Cortez is now my favorite casino ever. And if I ever play cards again, I'm playing at El Cortez because they handled it perfectly.
Right.
Perfectly.
It's so easy to just do it the right way.
It's the right thing to do. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk some more. Why not? It's the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network.
Few things are as precious as your eyes. They capture a world in motion and a lifetime of moments. Choosing the right doctor for LASIK means understanding there really is a difference. Dr. Richard Rothman and LASIK of Nevada believe that safety, affordability, and the latest technology are important. Call today and get 50% off premium LASIK and $99 a month guaranteed financing. Helping people achieve their best vision on a personal level is the difference at LASIK of Nevada. Call or click 800-NEW-VISION for premium LASIK at the best price.
By the way, if you guys check out LASIK in Nevada, you're gonna hit that?
No, somebody just said it hasn't moved all night. I just want to show
you. No, because he's not doing it. He's drinking fucking tea.
Yeah, just out of the mood to drink tonight.
All right.
You know, I don't want to
All right.
Alter my senses.
All right. Anyways, if you, this is part of the commercial for LASIK in Nevada. Drink your fucking tea. Yeah, no kidding. By the way, if you mention Vegas Video Network, you get 50% off of premium LASIK and an additional $200 off. It's the best deal they're giving for anybody. So mention VVN, no, Vegas Video Network. Okay, it's time for the chat potpourri, where we take live chat questions. We will answer any question, doesn't matter what it is. No topic is off topic. No subject is verboten. Before we do that, we're going to do one of our quick reviews like we often do in the beginning of this segment. And Brett has a positive story. He will not be going to Rio, but he will be going to Discount Tires.
I tell you what, I had a slow leak in my right front tire of my car, and I filled it up with air on, like, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday of last week. And I noticed again, and like on Friday, that the air was going down. So I rolled into Discount Tire, the location on West Sahara, at Torrey Pines, right by where my radio station is. And, you know, one of the cool things about a lot of the places is they'll fill up your tire or fix a flat for you for free.
Yeah.
So he said, look, it'll take us about 15 minutes or maybe to an hour. It's about an hour wait right now. And my daughter was coming down. We're going to have lunch together. And it's right across the street from Sammy's Wood-Fired Pizza. And I said, that's no problem. I'm just going to go across the street, have lunch. I'll be back in an hour. So about 45 minutes go by and my phone rings and they go, hey, Mr. Grant, got this is whoever. I think his name was Sean. Sean over at Discount Tire. When we were taking your tire off and taking it out of, put it into our, putting it on our machine and the wheel, it's actually the wheel, right? The machine punctured a big hole in your tire and ruined your tire.
Whoops.
Oh. Well.
That's not a feature.
That's not good. No. He goes, well, obviously it's our fault. And now, my car has 58,000 miles on it, original tires.
All right.
So I'm needing new tires pretty soon anyway.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, our fault. So we got to put a new tire on it for you. Unfortunately, I don't have that exact tire in stock today. I'll have it tomorrow. But we're going to put a we'll put a regular tire, just not the same brand, on there for like a loaner. And just come back tomorrow and we'll put the real one on. And I'm thinking, oh. All right, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Although I'm not in town tomorrow. Can I do it on Monday? Yeah, just do whatever you want. Just hang on to it. Here, just bring it on back. So I brought it back this morning, and I made an appointment because I didn't want to wait around too long. And I'm telling you, in 10 minutes, they had the old tire off, the new tire back on, and off my way I go. And I drive by there every day, so it's nice and convenient for me to be able to go do it. But just the fact that... you know, it was. I didn't have to complain about it. I didn't have to bitch about it. I didn't have to do anything. It was like, oh, you know, it's our fault, and we're going to put a brand new tire on there for you.
Well, they know about you. They know about you.
Well, yeah, they heard about the Rio.
You're a banner. So, you're the Scott and Brett Banning show. When and we do a whole show. We just go, you know what? Today we're banning the Rio. We're banning those people that you should not go see. Rio, maybe Chris Angel. We'll see.
Right. Well, the funny thing was, for as long as I've been in Las Vegas, there was a Big O Tires at the corner of DI and Jones, where I always took our cars because that was also close to the radio station. And I had great success, great luck with those guys. Got to know them. They were clients. They took great care of my cars.
Right.
They closed that location down.
Yep.
And then we ended up going to a different Big O Tire, and I had a bad experience. So now it's like, I got to find a mechanic. Or someplace where I can go and get the car done and get tires done and do all that kind of stuff. And going into Discount, I have a friend of mine whose kid I coached in baseball who runs one of the Discount Tires up off of Azure and up in the northeast, or northwest, I should say, Centennial Hills area.
Right.
And I gave him a shout out on Facebook just for that. And I was shocked when I put it on Facebook how many people love Discount Tires. Right. Nobody had a bad thing to say about
it. It in the live chat as well.
So kudos to them.
Next question. The first question from Danny. Danny asks, how did Scott and Brett meet?
Match.com. You know it. I didn't even realize what it was.
Yeah, so what happened was...
it was in my office, and I don't even remember it.
It was. Well, I have that effect on people.
Yeah, I had no idea you were even there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a gift, really. That's why I used to be a cat burglar.
Right.
Ashley
Madison.
Yeah, how about those people? Oops. How fucked are they right now?
Yeah.
Holy crap. I'm sure glad I ain't on that website. All right, so here's what happened. We when the Vegas Video Network first started, I had a show called Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. And the host was
Dennis Silver.
Thank you. Yeah. And Dennis is a go-getter, boy. He's a big salesy kind of guy.
Yes, he is. Good. Hell of a golfer, too.
That's what. Well, hell he's, of a golfer. He's the golf guru.
His dog's name is Ping.
Ping. There yeah. you go. He's like, hey, you know, I can get you on the radio. I'm like, okay, let's do that. Yes, I said, where at? He goes, KSHP, AM 1400. I'm like, AM 1400, that's one of the first places I ever discovered when I moved here. It was crazy. It's the craziest fucking radio I've ever heard. They're selling stuff. I spent an hour in my driveway just listening to this stuff. It was fascinating. He goes, well, I know the guy. I'm like, well, shit, let's go meet him. And that's how we met. So it was basically when we first, this is, I think it was probably a year in to the network. I met with Brett and
it's got to be like 2007 or 8
no,
or
no,
something.
No, 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 no. It was 10 it? Or 11.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't start until August 10th or until August of 2010 is when the network started. No, October 2010 is when the network started. And so we met with Brett. Brett was very friendly and said, I probably won't remember you. Well, fair enough. And so we put up, this is when we started doing for a while radio centric content. So we are doing, you know, the 30 minute legitimate broadcast 30 minute shows, which
right. We created the Friday Night Vegas Video Network.
We did. Yeah. And I tell you what, everybody on the network was super, super thrilled by it. I mean, it is something to be said to be driving along, go and you hear yourself talking.
Oh, yeah,
it's kind of cool. So that's how we met.
We could still do that, we could put Danny's show on.
We could put Danny's show on it, but you want her to pay for that.
Well, she's got some money. She invested $10 and made $1,300, so she's got plenty of cash.
Hey, I'm trying to keep her, you know, just, you know, I don't want to share her, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So that's how we met. Next question, Mike Q, what is being built on the front of fashion show? They're expanding fashion show. So they're putting more restaurants out there, more kiosky kind
where
of
the,
things out there.
Where the cloud was?
Where the spaceship is.
It's a cloud.
Yeah, that's what they say. It's not a cloud.
Well, because Apple stole the cloud.
Okay, it's not. So they're building. Basically,
did they ever build that thing in the sky, the restaurant in the sky that kind of hovers over? They were going to build that too out there.
Really?
It'd be like a 12 to 20 person hovering restaurant over the strip.
Oh.
What was that called? I forget what it was.
That wasn't part of fashion show.
That was part of it. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. But this is simply they're just expanding.
Well, maybe that's part of it.
I mean,
Malia's saying that's part of it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I didn't know that because a lot of people.
It's taken forever.
When I first moved here, I didn't know fashion show was a mall. I had no idea what that weird, creepy.
Well, that's where all the Summerlin High mamas go.
Well, not
now
anymore.
They go to downtown Summerlin.
Not anymore.
Nah, they still want to go. They still go down there too.
Maybe.
You know. Yep.
But yeah, so they're expanding. And next question. Danny has a question. Danny wants to know, is there a friggin' car insurance company that is ethical and treats people like people?
Car insurance. You know, I've used a bunch of them in town, and I haven't had a problem with any of them, mainly because I haven't gotten in any accidents.
Yeah.
So that's kind of part of it.
Yeah. I mean, we had Farmers for a while, and I dumped them because they were about two times the price of Geico. I've got Geico right now.
I've got Progressive now.
And so similar.
Head Farmers, Head State Farm.
Yeah.
And now I have Progressive.
But I've not. I'll tell you what I will say, that we had Farmers for, when we first moved into this house, we had a major plumbing problem when we first moved in. Mm-hmm. One that could have cost us in the neighborhood of $10,000.
Right.
And they covered it.
Actually, I used Allstate too. I have Allstate for my homeowner's insurance. And they've been fine. Haven't any problem with that either.
Danny,
so I've not had bad luck with
Progressive.
Anybody.
She has Progressive.
Yeah.
I'm going to the media with what they tried to do to you. Oh, that's pretty cool. Well, you've got your own show. So go get them, Daddy. Rock.
Yeah. We're now banning people again.
That's right. I'm telling you, we're doing a whole show called We're Banning You. This week, Progressive, Rio, and
I have Progressive.
McDonald's.
Just for the hell of it?
Well, okay. Because it's fucking poison.
Okay.
That stuff is nasty. Every time I eat McDonald's, only time I will eat McDonald's, and even I don't do it anymore, it's got the greatest hangover cure in the world, which is a Happy Meal, basically. It's cheeseburger, fries, and a full-blown Coke, not a Diet Coke.
See, I don't drink the soda.
So
I do
don't
get it. I get an Egg McMuffin once, not an Egg, a sausage and Egg McMuffin.
Does that do it for you?
Occasionally. Well, so just because I'm on my way to work, it's something to eat. I don't do it all the time.
I can't do it.
It's an English muffin, and a piece of sausage.
No,
but I don't get the cheese.
Yeah, but I eat that, and guess what happens to me? In about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, that's what coffee did to me when I was first starting my on-air show. I was doing 6 a.m. I'd be like, okay, I can't drink coffee anymore.
I can't.
I'd say, sorry, can't do it.
If I
got to be on the air.
We have a nice coffee, you know, one of those Keurig, whatever those things are. And there's some really good coffee. But I only eat coffee. Or only eat coffee. I only drink coffee if I'm in my house.
Really?
Hell yeah. It's a weekend thing. Okay. That is going to have a little hazelnut.
Exactly.
Shoot. Well, that was a good hazelnut, right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, McDonald's has that kind of effect on me as well.
Pop asks, what's the best fast food in Vegas? People love the In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger.
Probably.
Actually, if you like Mexican food.
Roberto's Taco Shop?
Well, actually, there's a better one. It's called El Taco. It's on Sahara just before Valley View on the south side of Sahara. There's two of them, and that's one of them. And they have really, really good Mexican food. And they're quick, and it's really, really, really good if you like Mexican food. Right. Other than that.
Don Tortacos. Or Los Tacos.
Los Tacos. That's okay. It. Sammy getting it done.
The Earl of Sandwich.
I don't like sandwich shops.
I don't think of them as fast food.
Yeah, and that's why.
Yeah.
I hate watching people make sandwiches.
Right.
Hate it. But if I do go to a place, it's Firehouse.
I like Firehouse.
Because you can sit down, they bring it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
They got that Coke machine that makes 1,000 different flavors.
Well, so does Five Guys Burgers. They have the same one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Five Guys is good, too.
Five Guys is pretty good, too.
Five Guys is good, yeah.
No, I like Five Guys. They give you unlimited fries if you're in the right place or something.
Well, just one order is enough. It's pretty much unlimited.
Yeah, I went there once with Jacob, actually. And they're like, would you like some more fries? I'm like, I don't understand. Yeah? Would you like some more fries? Free refill on fries? Yep.
And they have peanuts.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got peanuts, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's where those ladies should take their kids. They can play with the peanuts all over the floor.
Yeah, this all
like the old Jacks are better.
This makes me thirsty.
All right.
Yes, me too. Hey, I'm on. Have a drink on me. Yeah, have a drink on me. Yeah. Well, it's that time of the show where we're going to have a drink on me. That's right. This is where I show you a bar that I've been to. And if you can guess it, you can win stuff. What can they win?
They can win all kinds of stuff where Scott's trying to show you what they can win. It's the fabulous Vegas Video Network Visor, which might eventually come in more than one color.
We're told a red one is on the way. Oh, you're so
There's fat. Also fabulous original music produced by Scott, including Gajazzathon and Crisp Acoustic 1 and 2.
Nice and done.
Or you can have a drink on Scott Whitney.
Very good.
Preferably Captain Morgan.
Nicely done.
There you go.
Nice.
I'm Don Pardo.
Very done. Very,
come on
very
down.
Very well done.
You're the next contestant.
Now, what happens if you win, as he mentioned, you could be wearing one of these most amazing visors. It's now time for the group of gods. There is a new god. His name is Pop.
Pops, that's Pops. Look at the drum set behind him.
He's Pops. He said he took 127 pictures before he sent this one.
Well, look at the drum set there behind him.
I know. That's a big boy drum set. Much bigger than my drum set.
Nice, Pops. Nice.
And of course, we've got Sammy. It's Sammy. And there's, hey, that's a fun guy.
Did you charge yourself for that hat?
Yeah, fuck yeah. I charged myself. I paid for the damn thing. There's Jackie. Jackie. There's Christina. You saw her belly last week. And by the way, she said, I wasn't really naked. You'd mentioned that. I think she's naked. She wasn't naked. There's Brett's dad, who doesn't listen to the show anymore because
he swears
too much. Don.
Because I swear too much because you swear too much.
There's Pimpin' Wayne. Of course, we've got Mikey Q.
The militia member.
There's the Danny.
The Danny.
We've got Michael. And of course, no one trusts him, but we keep him on the show.
See, I just don't look good in visors. Maybe it's the Dumbo size ears they got there and the headphones on.
Okay. So let's remember, you could win Gajazzathon, which you can get on Spotify for free if you're a cheap bastard, or if you want to support my habit, buy it on iTunes. Okay. And remember, those visors are sold out. Okay.
Now, somebody buys Gajazzathon on iTunes for $9.99. How much do you get of that?
I get all of it.
Really?
Or 75%, something okay. like that. It's okay. But I'm paying to get it on there. Right. I pay a yearly fee to put that up there,
okay.
which isn't terrible. And so, and I've got it in a bunch of other places as well. Okay.
Okay.
So let's look at last week's... Have a drink on
that
me.
Is... Boink. Oh. I know what it is.
And the clues were...
It's the...
Seahorse Bar. It's the Seahorse Bar. And...
It's the
Seahorse Bar. That was the clues that we gave last week. You may have heard it differently. Chances are you did. But that's what it really was, the Seahorse Bar. We had 20 entries, not 19 as are in the notes. And of the 20 entries, all 20 were correct. Yes, Jackie, it is too late to enter.
She now knows the answer.
But appreciate you doing that. Okay, so let's take a look at what we've got for this week's winning entries. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's put the hat up.
First, we've got Tom Reedy. I don't think Tom's in there. Let's double check in the live chat. And again, if you are in the live chat, oh, I forgot to mention this, during this segment and you have a correct question or answer, we're going to double your entries. Double your entries, double your fun, very much like double mint gum. I don't see Tommy in there. Tammy Mossbrucker, a brand new one. Haven't seen her before. Welcome, Tammy. Thanks for playing along. David Timon. David is occasionally in the live chat. Let's see if he's in there this time. He is not. All right. Dave is out. Marie Rogers. I don't believe Marie is in the live chat, but we're going to double check, make sure we don't leave anybody out. I get a lot of crap for that if I do. Brad from Pardon me?
Well-deserved, mind you.
Of course. Brad from Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge.
Brad from Baton Rouge. I don't see Brad in there. Monica Fagan, who's an oftentimes player. But
Brad is there. LSU crazy man.
Oh, that's Brad. Is here. Brad from Baton Rouge. LSU crazy. Brad. Thank you, Brad.
All right. Well, thanks for being quick on the trigger.
Thanks, Brad.
Oh, I'm here. Somebody's Binky's here, too. Binky. Who's which Binky?
Oh, Binky is. God damn it. We did this every time. Well,
who are you, Binky? I'll add you.
Is she, Binky is Monica, right? Binky, Monica, right?
I don't know.
I think so. Is that Binky?
Help us out, Monica? Binky.
Monica, Binky? Binky, Monica?
Monica. Thank you.
Monica Fagan. Monica, this is good. Because Mona is, again, usually the person who just says, yeah, here's my fucking entry. But now she's like, I've had enough of playing this game for 400 years and not getting anything. Rob Cole is often in the live chat. We've had a large number of people in the live chat. I don't see Rob in there today. Rob is a new Vegas Video Co-op member. Maybe next week. Yes?
Oh, very nice.
Maybe next week I'll say if you're a new co-op member, we double your entries as well. Why the hell not? But not this week.
Have you told Rob yet you don't need his money yet?
What?
I said, I don't need your money, Rob.
What?
And I was just saying.
I'm sorry, what?
That was your story 2 weeks ago.
Along with the bio, the Rio, we're banning you.
No.
No.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do know, but Rob. Okay. But don't double Robbie.
Okay.
Ken Anderson. We know Kenny is in there, of course.
Ken with two N's.
Ken with two N's. And that's in there. And Steve I, the groovy guy, is always in there because he's that kind of cat. Boink. Next up, some quick comments from Aaron Perry. Aaron says she's going to be, these guys are awesome, the Perrys. They check out what we do and then they do what we tell them to do.
Oh, which wow.
Nobody does that.
Run right? naked down the street with the bulls?
Nothing wrong with that.
In Pamplona, that's what they're doing?
Yeah.
They just missed that.
Yeah, that's stupid. I would never say to do that. Unless you're wearing a condom.
The Vegas Video Network visor. And
by the way, if you wear the visor, I'll buy the condom. Okay, so Aaron's like, hey, we're going to hit up these places that they
thanks, actually... Al. Al's naked, he says.
Great, good comment. Good story. Andy from New Hampshire, now this is crazy. Andy won Have a Drink on Me 204.
Okay.
That was the last one we did before we took our break.
Oh, wow.
So that was like a couple years ago, or a year and a half or so ago.
He's in Feast from New Hampshire.
Andy from New Hampshire, awesome. He goes, but I never claimed my prize. I'm sorry, Andy.
Well, the statute of limitations have run out.
Gone. But I appreciate you playing along, and God bless you for trying again. I hope you win. I really seriously do. Rob from New York. Rob says, you guys are absolutely the best.
Oh, thank you, Rob.
I'll be in Las Vegas the first week of August. And the podcast, thanks to the podcast, I know much more very exclusive places.
That's cool.
That's right. Thank you, Rob, for playing along in New York City. Don Verdue. Don, of course, is already in our galaxy of gods. Let's bring Don back up again. There she is. And yeah. Don writes, yes, I am one of the sexy people. Whoop, whoop. Apparently, I mentioned that these people were the sexy people, which, of course, is true.
There you go.
And then we've got Mike Q. I think there's Mike Q right there. So Mike Q gets a double deuce of juice. Very well done. And now we've got some printed content.
I would like to make a requisition request.
So yeah, I know. We're running out of...
I'm out of... We need to spend some money for the show. No, I'm okay. I think I'm all right. I have,
how are we going to do that?
I have two more left. Three more left.
Oh, crap.
I got three left.
All right. Well, Gene Pops.
Gene Pops is back.
He's in there.
All right, Pops.
Gene writes... Boink. How are you going to read Gene?
All right, because Jean's a girl. All right, Pops. Oh, Scott, that was cold wadding up my entry, sorry, and throwing it at the camera last week. You say greedy bastard, but I say clever guy never missing an opportunity.
Right.
This week's correct answer is the Seahorse Lounge at Caesar's Palace. You can throw my once again correct entry at the camera if you want. I'll just keep on trying. The fun is playing along. Win, lose, or escorted from the field by security on live TV. It's all fun and games until Metro shows up. Don't throw away the attached JPEG of old Pop Style and his new Vegas Video Network visor, though. It took 163 takes to get that shot.
There's Pops.
Keep
baby.
Up the great work. Is Pops a local? Is he a Vegas guy?
No, I don't think so.
Pops is like down in the FLA, is he not?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next one up is well done, Poppers. My good friend Neil Mitchell. Neil writes, salutations, Lord Scott.
Oh, my goodness.
I assume you have told people that you are a landowner in Scotland and officially a lord, which is true, by the way.
Yeah.
I do I own
that's how you got Melissa.
And, well, yes, that and
I'm the lord of the manor.
And other things, too. I'm hung like a
light switch.
Chiclet.
A chiclet.
All right. I remember drinking there with Sarah and Paul and Carol a few years ago, but I don't recall drinking there with yourself and Melissa. That is something that must be rectified. There are a lot of bars that we haven't drunk in together, which is weird when you think about the number of times we've been drinking together. I am drinking while typing this, and that may well be obvious, I fear. All the very best. Your liege.
Your liege. How do you spell liege?
L-E-I-G-E. And that's right. My good friend, Neil. One of the greatest guys ever to walk the face of the earth, in my opinion.
All right.
Danny Ackerman.
That boy.
That boy.
Got to give her an extra one.
Danny's in there. She's a girl.
Danny with four thumbs up. Oh, I get to read Danny with four thumbs up.
Five thumbs up.
That's right. They had to use the technology.
That's right.
To get the five. Seahorse Lounge at Caesars. I must tell you, the husband is now trained to come and check on my wine glass on Tuesday evenings. The kids know not to interrupt mom on LILV night.
Yeah.
You two are truly the highlight of my week. Lord, I need a life. Keep up the good work of entertaining and informing the masses and showing up that swearing is social. Showing us that swearing is socially acceptable. You know, I only made it out of third grade. So thank you, Danny.
Danny, everybody.
I didn't cover the us versus up. I apologize
big
for butchering that.
Danny?
Yeah.
And then we've got Brian Leach. Brian, are you in the live chat today?
Brian Leach is a defenseman for the New York Rangers back in the day.
Brian
back in the
90s. Is in the live chat.
Oh, that's Brian. Is that Brian? Yeah, it's Brian. Okay.
The Brian?
It's Brian. Brian.
Fuck with me on that. Brian writes, hi, Scott. Great main topic last week. Brett's number one important thing is starting a business capital is so true.
Thank you.
When I started my business, I almost made the mistake of going underfunded. I was going to bootstrap it, which is what I do. And he's basically telling me that I'm a douchebag. but decided to accept the loan that was offered by my dad. It made the difference from me going out of business in 3 months to being in business for 20 years. Better to have it than need it and not have it. Good times.
That's a good
the
point.
Answer of today's Haddam is the Seahorse Lounge.
Well done.
Well done indeed. And then finally, we got Alan Perry. Alan, of course, is in the live chat. Give him an extra.
Oh, I'm going to write him on the dirty paper here.
Nothing wrong with that. Let me double check. Make sure he's still there. He is.
He is. He just told us he was naked, for crying out loud.
Oh, that's good. Alan writes, hey, Scott and Brett. The Haddam Bar for episode 223 is the Seahorse Lounge at Caesars. I'm loving the Haddam section of the podcast. Aaron and I just returned from Vegas this morning, and we spent a couple of nights during our trip hitting a bunch of the bars featured on your show. Downtown, we hit Hogs and Heifer, the Griffin, Don't Tell Mama. Then we moved to the Strip, visited Parasol Down, Barrymore Bar, Fireside Lounge at Peppermill, Rum Bar, Public House at Venetian. We'll be back in town in September to hit more. Boy, they hit every damn thing.
That's awesome. Isn't that awesome?
That's why Alan is my man.
Special tennis clap for me.
Very good. Thanks. Cheers. Thanks for the show. You guys are great, especially you, Scott.
Golf clap. Thank you very much.
All right. And then finally, and remember, besides being in the live chat and getting a double if you're in here during this segment, you can send a video. Oh, you can send a video.
And you can make Have a Drink on Me last for 4 hours.
And here it is. This is my favorite segment.
I know
Shut
it is.
The
I
fuck
know.
Up.
Mr. Whitney, Mr. Drinky Pants, Charlie from Baltimore.
Oh, wow.
I've decided that simply submitting emails for my Haddam entries just wasn't getting the job done.
There's
I've decided to raise the bar for Haddam entries by submitting them in video format.
Nice.
This week's Haddam entry, none other than the lovely Seahorse Lounge in Caesar's Palace. Well, hopefully this did the trick for me, because damn it, I'm tired of buying my own alcohol in Vegas. Anyway, gentlemen.
You and me both.
Here's to a wonderful show, and to someday living in Las Vegas.
That's awesome.
Charles.
It's like Thurston Howell over there.
So
with
he,
the.
So he gets, it's Charles Lipset.
I have no more thing. Has Charles even entered before in the past?
Yeah.
Has he? Okay.
Yeah.
He just hadn't gotten the double here, before.
We'll use this one. Scratch out that name.
Well, I can do this.
Well, just use this.
Okay, all right.
So it's the same form factor.
Charles, I mean, that was awesome. He had the drinking jacket on. He had the...
He looked good.
He called me Drinky Pants.
He had the Thurston thing going on.
Yeah, he did. He had the captain's
I'm telling
hat.
You, here's what makes me so proud.
Grabbing your gazangas over here.
This makes me happy, not proud.
Grabbing his Zeppelins.
What I like is that we've got super talented people who watch and listen to the show.
Yeah.
Clearly more fantastic. Talented than us.
Absolutely.
But that is a low bar. So if this is our bar, that's our people.
Yeah.
Us, them, us.
And there's a lot of great bars in between that we feature on Have a Drink on Me.
That's right. So we're kind of doing many
Wouldn't
things.
You think, though, from an advertising perspective, we would get some sponsors out of this from these fabulous bars we feature
about that.
On this.
I was thinking about that.
How about for a nominal fee, you be featured?
I could probably do that.
You probably could.
I bet you. Well, given that I've got people who actually go to these places.
I think it's just...
Okay, here we go.
One-time
we're gonna...
charge, $1,000 a week, and we put you on there.
$1,000? That's nothing.
A week. A week.
Sounds great. I'm in. We could stop everything and just do the show. Okay, exactly. We're mixing everything up. Actually get serious about the show. Maybe you'll actually come in a little bit early. Maybe get in the fucking notes. It'll be great.
I put the notes in there today.
Hush, little baby.
And you deleted them all.
You put a fucking bullet in there. You don't count. Okay, here we go.
I put three bullets in
there. Yeah, those bullets were not good.
Right, here we go. They were about you.
Well, that's
why they were no good.
That's a problem. Here we go.
All right.
Here it is.
Tomahawk saber.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Here we go.
And it is.
And the winner is...
Steve I.
Steve I.
Steve I is the winner.
Steve is a long time viewer participant in the live chat.
And long time contestant. First.
And he's already
time
answering.
First time.
I'm going to send you an email anyway, Steve, because that's what I do. But he wants to have a Scott on drink. Maybe a drink on Scott?
We need to create a Scott drink.
Hard to say. I should.
Yes, you should. And feature
call
that.
Call it the Whitney Wizzy. The Wizzy Whitney. The wacky Whitney watermelon something. What does Steve win? Steve wins.
That's Steve Wynn.
What does he win?
Steve chose not the visor.
Nope.
Not the music. Steve chose a drink on Scott.
Yay!
Congratulations to Steve I.
The wise guy.
This week's winner on Have a Drink on Me.
Okay, and now it's time for this week's Have a Drink on Me. Boink. There it almost was.
Yeah, where is it here?
There it is. Don't look. Did you look?
At the
notes? You probably did.
No.
Okay, here it is.
I think I know what that is just by looking at the
picture. The Witty Whitney. God, that's pretty hard to say. Okay, here it is. Our three clues for this week's Have a Drink on Me. Clue number one. Given Bugsy Siegel's connection to this downtown property, he'd likely drink here. Clue number two, That is, if somebody hadn't already shot him in the face. Yeah, that takes a lot of the drinking capabilities out. If you've been shot in the face, well, you can't drink. And the number three clue, a spider might invite a fly to this bar. A spider might invite a fly.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you don't know the poem that has both a spider and fly in it. Again, if you know the answer, you're going to send it to Have a Drink at Vegas.
Of course I know that.
You do, because you don't do any research. You just read the fucking notes.
No, I know that you would just say the poem to you.
Hush.
Okay.
I will not have you spoke outside. Guess what? We're running out of time. We're not doing the listener email this week.
All right.
But God bless us. We're just about at the over-under.
So we got time to read the listener
email? No. We're at 140.
Okay.
God, it's unbelievable how talky you are. If you could just kind of back it off a little bit, that'd be super helpful.
You spent like an hour talking about the Effin' Fam.
Sometimes you got to share the love, brother.
I understand. I do the same thing.
You come up with cool things and you do that. All right. So let's...
Are we done?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. We do have... Now, next week, I want people to think about this before we start.
Okay.
We're going to smash Las Vegas stereotypes.
That's right.
So think about you live chatters and maybe folks for when you put in your Have a Drink on Me.
Mm. I like this.
Put in what you think is your... biggest Las Vegas stereotype.
Yeah, because we're going to attack
and we're going to crush him next week.
We're going to, and some we're going to confirm.
Exactly. One or the other. We'll crush him or confirm him.
I expect we will confirm a few of them.
Yeah, I got to get my wife down to Sapphire. She's getting on stage here in about 10 minutes.
Yeah. How's that working for you? Good? All right. Again, if you want to check us out, we're everywhere. Why? Because people love us. That's why. You can send an email to onairq@livinginlv.com. That seems loud. You can send voicemail by going to our voicemail thing on the website. iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, either for the audio or video, or hell, both. Why don't you do that? That'd be great. We're on the YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. Share it with all your friends. And you can also find us on Roku with 31,165 installations of our network. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple TV, Google TV, Fire TV, Vegas Video Network, Facebook, and of course, Twitter. I'm Scott Whitney. That's Brett Grant. He is richer today than he was yesterday.
I am.
Because of you people watching us. That's nice, isn't it?
Bye, everybody.
We'll see you guys later. Bye. Ha 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 ha!